Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZTube Podcast, where two friends gather around a single mic stand. That's right, everyone. I'm breaking down the illusion. We all share one mic.
No, we don't.
We all use it. We rotate it. We hand it to one another.
No.
And as always, I'm your host, Zach, and joined with me is my infamous co-host.
Zach?
I don't know. I was going to give you something different, like infamous Spider-Man or some sort of adjective Marvel would use. Because
they only rotate the like five of them, though.
Okay, so there's friendly, amazing, avenging, superior, ultimate, spectacular. So that's six.
Uncanny
X-Men, extraordinary X-Men.
Eight.
We're at eight. I think eight.
So yeah, adjectives. They rotate through eight adjectives, and then they just go to colors.
Yeah, gold, blue, red, black. But it's a really short week. Not much is going on.
The dominating conversation this week was the whole Rockstar CEO or one of the founders is like, oh yeah, the writing team worked 100-hour weeks on Red Dead 2, and everybody lost their shit and started the whole crunch
conversation.
Even though that his one statement was taken out of context.
Yeah, he went back and like reiterated.
He's like, no, it wasn't everyone.
But like by the time he did that,
it was too late.
It was too late and everyone blew up about it.
Granted, yes, we shouldn't be crunching. Nobody should be working 100-hour weeks, even if you want to. That's just not healthy.
Joke's on you.
It's not healthy.
I'm not healthy either.
I know.
It's whatever.
The gym can only help you so much there.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Yes.
So
crunch bad. Although, yes, sometimes it has to happen, but you shouldn't be doing 80 to 100-hour weeks on the regular.
That's a lesson I learned the hard way. But I think all the news is quiet. It was the third Monday of the month, so solicitations for January started coming out. A few new series got announced and some series got some changes that we'll talk about later, but there hasn't really been too much going on outside of the video game world, outside of the comic world and pop culture. All the CW stuff came back these past 2 weeks.
Fuck Riverdale.
We've only watched one episode.
The more I think about it, the more I'm just like, fuck this show. What is this show anymore?
But, I mean, the genuine consensus of all of, like, the subreddit is, like, the show is terrible. I can't stop watching.
I mean, like, it's going to be something when Sabrina, who's, like, you know, about demons and fucking magic, is going to be, like, make more sense than what Riverdale has become.
Because Sabrina has its tone. It knows what it is. Apparently, the new meme right now is, like, everyone hates the Archie subplot in the prison, and they want more Goblin King. Like, that's been, or Gargoyle King, or whatever the fuck it is. So that's, everyone's been really excited about that facet of the show.
Yeah.
But, speaking of television.
I will say, I appreciate them bringing the cat that played Salem onto the red carpet for Sabrina's premiere.
That was an awesome photo shoot.
That's 10 out of 10.
Yeah. So, speaking of TV shows, Luke Cage has been canceled over at Netflix. The Thanos snap has literally wiped out 50% of the Netflix population. Only
perfect balance.
Daredevil and Jessica Jones remain currently.
Yep. And apparently the season of Daredevil is like the best one out of everything.
I didn't realize the season came out.
I didn't either, but apparently it's really good.
Well, I think at the end of, spoilers for Defenders, if anyone cares, apparently he died, but then he didn't really die. Like, everyone thought he's dead.
It's the fake out, as always.
Yeah. And which is really interesting. Like, Daredevil is coming out on top right now, even though the current arc in the comic is the death of Daredevil, written by the one and only Charles Soule, who is infamous for killing Marvel's characters.
And then they're just going to come back in 6 years again.
Yeah.
As standard.
Hey, Charles Soule is bringing Wolverine back as well.
Yeah.
Least they don't have amnesia and they go by Rick.
True. Yeah. The more I see about them, the more I'm like, this seems just fucking dumb. I'm sorry, but this just seems stupid.
I haven't read this arc of Nightwing yet. I'm just kind of really hesitant. It could be good, but like
his
solicit came out.
His costume makes him look like twice from My Hero.
Yeah. The January solicit came out and Fabian Nicieza, I can't remember how to actually say his last name,
Lanishka?
The co-creator of Deadpool, is also co-writing this arc with Scott Lobdell. And I'm like, all right, so I understand you high possibility chance you did fire Ben Percy off the book. It was his idea, and now you need to backtrack really hard and execute these scripts really quick. So it's a weird place. I think they just want to get rid of this Amnesia arc and maybe be like, all right, it's Nightwing again.
Yeah.
Because I think someone found Dick Grayson's stash of like not Nightwing stuff, and now a cop is running around as Nightwing. And I'm like, everyone else is like, is this super heavy? Is Scott Snyder? Is this you? But it's just like a random cop in Bloodhaven who's now running around masquerading as Nightwing.
Fucking weird.
No, no, man.
So fucking weird.
I don't know.
I think the key point, going back to Luke Cage, though, I think the key point is that it will no longer be at Netflix. That doesn't mean it's right. not going to come back on Disney's streaming service whenever they launch that.
Yeah, it's all about distribution rights. Yeah. So even though it got canceled on Netflix, it could come to streaming.
I think they're just saving their asses for later. So yeah. Like, all right, we'll let Daredevil and Jessica Jones still go on because we don't know what to do with that yet.
Punisher. Punisher's is out it? There.
I've never cared for Punisher.
Neither have
not
I.
Not even once.
I think the most interesting thing that happened of Punisher was when Matt Fraction wrote him and they killed him and resurrected him as Frankencastle.
That was Fraction who did that?
That was Matt Fraction. It was either Fraction or freaking crap, Totally Space of Kieran Gillen. But I think it's a Fraction thing, to be perfectly honest.
I could see it.
Yeah. But Luke Cage is gone, and with Iron Fist gone as well, a lot of people are speculating that they're going to make their eventual return as the Heroes for Hire on Netflix, Disney's streaming service.
Yeah.
But it'll be...
I don't see why they wouldn't do that.
Interesting. Yeah, I think they are canceling these things and then, like, waiting for the rights to revert back to them, kind of have the same thing that Clone Wars got canceled by Cartoon Network because, hey, Disney bought them out. Bought Star Wars out, and now that like a significant time has passed, they're like, all right,
we can bring it back now.
Save Star Wars, save Clone Wars, it's coming out. And it's just I'm still losing my shit. There's that meme soon, that came out. It was like my knowledge about Star Wars, yes. And then my knowledge about everything else is like a tiny little book, and I'm like, yeah, that me. I really want to just Clone Wars continue forever. Apparently,
the war has to end though eventually.
Well, I mean, just those characters.
We know.
We know the war ended. We all saw Revenge of the Sith. We all saw who had the high ground. And I mean, the comics have done a great job bridging the gap, but I really would love, you know, just everyone saying, more Ahsoka, more Ahsoka, more Ahsoka. Or other cool characters we never really got, like Kit Fisto, Ki-Adi Mundi.
Do you think they'll go to old Ahsoka and Sabine running around, like continue that storyline? At some point.
I think so. Dave Filoni was really smart in doing a vague epilogue for all those characters. Just being like, hey, the hunt for Ezra. Let's go. Spoilers for last season. Ezra goes missing along with Thawne. That was a really ballsy move. I'm
Thawne.
Like, holy crap, you're going to get rid of Thawne before like Luke else encounters him?
Yeah, but wasn't it kind of like a lukewarm, no pun intended, perception or a... Not perception, but kind of acceptance from the audience. Is like, this isn't really the Thrawn we had in mind.
Not as much. Like, he's still vaguely every semblance of that character. And even Anthony Zaa, who wrote the books, wrote new novels to fit in the Star Wars canon with this new version of the character. And, I mean, that character's still the same in the novels, but there's only so much you can do in a TV show.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt like a lot of people's overall reaction from him was like, yeah, he's still like really smart and like conniving, but at least in the novel, he explained his thought process in this. It's just like, oh, it's this because of one thing that I saw here.
Yeah, he was a little less Sherlock than he was in the novels. Or in the series, he was a little less Sherlock. He was very much like, yes, by analyzing this paint pattern on this TIE fighter, I know it was Sabine. And I'm like, okay.
Do you know this?
Granted, there's only one Rebel pilot who paints everything purple and orange. let's explain the thought process here. And yeah, I really want them to go back and explore some of that stuff on Lothal, though, like the dimension between dimensions, like how Ezra saves Ahsoka, and I'm like, what? Time travel in, like, my Star Wars?
I feel like you need a little more depth there. It's kind of a big plot point.
Meanwhile, Filoni's like, out. Even Star Wars Resistance, where he's serving as a executive producer, I think, only. That series has actually been doing really well, surprisingly. Like, from the anime-esque thing.
Kind of, like, oddly stylized.
Yeah. Cel-shaded, but it's not.
Yeah.
But apparently that series has been going really well. It is kind of aimed down a bit compared to Clone Wars and Rebels, but I think that's just because it's Filoni.
Do you think we'll ever get a, like, Empire-sided animated series?
No.
No? Like,
no.
We got that, like, small promise from the Star from Battlefront 2.
You are the bad guy for one-fourth of the game.
No, you're not. She turns coat faster than a revolving door.
I think Chuck Wendig and some of the other people that have written the Star Wars novels did a great job about doing the Empire side of things. Even the Phasma novel, like, as much as I almost said Sony Star Wars and Marvel wants us to care about Phasma as a character because it's Gwendolyn Christie. We paid a lot of money for her. But it's like, oh, cool. It's literally another Boba Fett who does shit.
Yeah.
But those series have been written really well. Even fucking Bill Weasley, his character in the Phasma novel.
Huck.
Yeah. Hux has been really interesting because it's like, yeah, he just straight up killed people to get to his position. I don't think that we're going to see that in a children's TV show.
Probably not. Yeah. But, I mean, come on. Some of the animated shows, they got into some dark territory. People fucking died in that show.
I just got done with the
Look at Rebels.
Yeah.
Fucking, what's his face?
Kanan.
Kanan dies in a fiery explosion.
I just finished, like, one of the most dark episodes of Clone Wars during my rewatch this week. It was all the stuff with General Krell. I don't know if he ever got to that point. But
isn't that season 6?
He's season 3.
Krell.
He has 4 arms and he has 2 dual-bladed lightsabers.
What planet were they on doing?
Umbra, the dark planet.
I don't remember that part.
So, Anakin and Obi had to pull out to go dick around somewhere else in the Star Wars universe, and it's just Rex and all of his men in the 501st with General Krell. And Krell's like, you're just clones. You're all expendable. You are not humans. You do not deserve to be treated like people. You are all tools in this machine. And then one part, it's like, Krell informs Rex and his men. It's like, yes, all of these other clone troopers, or one of our squads, have been ambushed, and the Umbra people have all stolen the armor. They will be masquerading as them. When in reality, Krell told 2 separate factions of the clone troopers the same thing. So they're all shooting at
each other.
And Rex pulls off someone's helmet. And it's like, they're us. They're me. And he's running out, holding someone's body. It's like, look, they're us. We're fighting each other. I'm like, oh, this is dark.
Did you not? I mean, and then there's the whole Fives arc where it's like,
yeah,
good lord.
Tup. Like, I just met Tup again in this arc, and it's just heartbreaking to think about him and Dogma and all of the others. Fives is in that episode too. It's like, we have an arc trooper with us, man. He's the best of the best. Meanwhile, Krell's like, fuck you. You're garbage. Yeah. Anyways. Speaking of TV again. Sorry. Star Wars, man.
Gotta get that Star Wars tangent.
DC's Elseworlds series has been showcasing their first poster.
God, they look so fucking doofy.
Yeah, so it's called Destiny Will Be Rewritten. For those of you that don't know, Elseworlds is an old DC imprint where it's like, you can tell whatever story you want. It's
what if whatever. This happened?
No, what if is Marvel.
Yes, their title is What If, but Elseworlds were still like Red Sun or... Yeah.
Mark Millar's Red Sun, Batman Red Rain... Gotham by Gaslight.
What was another? What was the one where it was not Last Sun, but like one of the stories where Superman like mom and pa can't like get a flat tire and they don't find Superman.
Oh, The Nail.
Yeah, that
was a graphic novel.
It was still an Elseworld.
Technically an Elseworld. It's like, oh, a nail can change everything.
Yeah.
Literally, they get a flat tire because of a nail. And then there's a sequel called Another Nail, and it's not nearly as great, to be perfectly honest. The nail is kind of fucked. Like, Joker just straight up kills Robin and Batgirl, and then Catwoman's like, oh, Bruce, I'm so sorry. I'll become Batwoman now. So in this poster that the tagline of Destiny will be rewritten, it shows Barry Allen in the Green Arrow hood. Meanwhile, Oliver's running around in the Flash costume. We also saw Tyler Hoechlin's black outfit for Superman, as well as Lois Lane. And now we have the confirmation that Lex Luthor is going to be joining CW. I think DC, in a fashion, has just like doubled down on their TV shows.
Is this the episode where Batwoman's going to show up too?
Yep. So
is this where they like finally just merge everything together like they've been trying to do for so long?
Yeah, a lot of people are speculating that this is going to be the crisis event that ever since Flash season one, it's like the sky has turned red. The Flash has disappeared in a crisis. It's going to be this that finally brings all of the CW worlds into the same world. So that way they can't, oh man, we need Supergirl. Vibe. Oh wait, she has a little controller thingy button. So I think that would actually work really well. And actually there have been rumors that a Superman series is actually going to be in development just because fans have responded so well to Tyler Hoechlin and everything else.
Yeah.
And we have Lois Lane now, and then we have Lex Luthor coming.
The return of Smallville that nobody wanted.
Well, I think it'd be Metropolis. Yeah. Because they were supposed to be. Don't you remember there was rumors about the Metropolis series? Yeah, they were going to
bring it back, right? Just carry off or pick up where they left off?
Nope. No? It was just supposed to be a Metropolis-focused series starring Jimmy, Lois, and Lex. Yeah. Superman at all. But I think, you know, we've come to a point where everyone's just like, no, we need these characters. Even Krypton has done really well attaching everything.
Yeah, and did you see I wouldn't be surprised if CW starts a Superman show. I mean, this is kind of side note, but Titans got their Rotten Tomatoes rating, which I mean, always take with a grain of salt of critics, but it's certified fresh after this first season. So it's like, all right, well, critics didn't fucking shit all over it. So there's some hope there.
Yeah. As soon as even people in CCBE are like, yeah, we watched episode one and it was great. Like, it's a really cool reimagining. And it goes to the point of all these people just shitting on it before it even came out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the whole fuck Batman thing was just like, kind of left a sour taste in everyone's mouth. They're like, ugh, what is this?
Even producers were like, don't worry, Starfire's going to have another costume. And then, okay, here's another preview from SCCC. Starfire didn't have a costume. Oh, this is garbage. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Starfire will have another costume. We promise. We're the ones that wrote the show. Oh, fuck off. Oh.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And now I think some set pictures have been leaked from a future episode. And it shows Raven with her cloak and, like, midriff exposed because comics. And Starfire also.
What unitard, though?
She had her midriff exposed in some variation of her outfit. Look, it's DC. Everyone has their stomachs out.
I got to show those abs.
Yeah,
They worked so hard for
Supergirl, Starfire, Stargirl.
Artemis.
Yeah, show the abs. So I think as soon as I get paid, I'm going to go get like a year-long subscription for DC Universe. That way I can finally catch up on Krypton and get ready for season two and Young Justice Outsiders, which Weissman has confirmed on Twitter 15 of the 26 episodes are done. So it's like,
are we gonna get a dump, or are they weekly releasing those?
I think it's gonna be weekly because that's the shift Titans went to. Originally it was supposed to be 10 episodes go, but now it's been weekly. Even season two of Titans has already been confirmed just because critics and fans have been responding so well to it,
which is good.
Yeah,
like this, so far DC Universe seems like it's working out.
Yeah,
I mean, it seemed like everybody responded fairly well to the Harley Quinn teaser. I didn't like see any major like, oh fuck this idea. Like, everyone seems like, oh no, okay, this seems pretty fun.
Especially too, we're gonna get Swamp Thing in the future. Doom Patrol looks amazing just from set pictures.
Robot Man,
Negative Man, like, come on, bring in Danny. Show me a set picture of Danny. Show me a goddamn brick. Show me a picture of Danny the Street where one side is all men's tuxedo shops and the other side is all dresses, because Danny doesn't know what he feels like today. It's my favorite part about that character. Look, man, if a bus can be genderized, or not a bus, an ambulance in a street, like...
Anime's gone too far.
Anime hasn't gone far enough.
Anime was a mistake.
It's never a mistake, Zach. Nothing ever ends.
I think that's still my favorite line from Anime Crimes Division Season 2. Anime was a mistake.
That's going to be a really fun...
God, that meme.
If it comes back.
Yeah. Wait, I feel like it will. I mean, there's old Jeffrey Ross's character still digging around.
And even just Crunchyroll's been killing it lately with partnerships.
Except with Funimation.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
But it wasn't their fault.
No, it was, I mean, it was a contract that they just both are like, all right, yeah, we're good here.
Yeah, well, Sony pulled out was the contract.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah. they're letting their contract run out.
Yeah.
Essentially.
But, I mean, Steve did say he's going to get his Funimation Now thing.
So they're at least replacing it with another service that has a bunch of Sentai Filmworks stuff, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something.
Yeah. I just feel like my consumption of anime only revolves around the two of you, that I'm not going to seek anything out on my own. Except I'm currently playing the rhythm game Bang Dream, and there's an anime about it. It's what? Literally just a rhythm game. It's about five idol girls, and one of the idol girls is a bear. Dressed up as a bear.
And here I thought the zombie idol girl
She's like a bear mascot, but everyone thinks she's a bear.
Okay.
It's amazing. There's a story to it.
Oh my god.
Continuing on with stories, though, What We Do in Shadows series shares the same universe as the film. This is coming from CBR. Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi's mockumentary What We Do in Shadows has been turned into a series for FX, starring Kayvan Novak, Harvey Gullion, Natasha Dimitrio, and Matt Berry. It plans to occupy the same universe as the original film. The series shares the same basic premise as its parent concept. Three vampires who live together as roommates are interviewed by a documentary crew, and hilarity ensues, presumably. The series was written by Clement and directed by Waititi, who notably did not share credits as they did on the film. So they may not actually appear in the show.
Well, it's a completely different group, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it? Or were some of the characters moving over? I forget.
No, it's a completely different group. During their New York Comic Con panel, audiences got to watch the premiere of the show, but were under strict instructions not to share any details about the new show other than the fact that it was set in America. It would include a female vampire living with two male vampires as opposed to three men living together. Darn you, social justice warriors. Sarcasm. To learn anything else, we have to wait until 2019, though that's not to say the panel didn't reveal some fascinating bits about the information about the film and the series, such as it's taking place in Staten Island. Clement did not go far as to say that he and Waititi would show up as characters, but did talk about the possibility of it. Paul Sims came out and said, they're in Staten Island because they wanted the idea that the vampires had been maybe 200 years ago, been sent to maybe conquer America, but had sort of lost their way and forgotten. And they've gotten to New York, and that's where the boat dropped them off, and they never went any further before they knew a lot of time had passed. They also talked about the possibly taking place in L.A., but they couldn't do L.A. because it's too sunny. Detroit, because there's too many vampire stories in Detroit.
Is there...
I guess. Jim Jarmusch's film, I think, also took place in Detroit.
Which one was that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just looking at this article. Taika Waititi did say they're trying to create a universe to rival Marvel.
Oh my god.
What that means is that they're taking one idea and stretching it out for years and years. Literally Taika Waititi's words.
I wonder if since it's going to be like it's a TV series, it's going to be very much like The Office.
It's an interview concept thing. I forget The Office, and even Parks and Rec to a degree are both, like, there's an interview crew. It seems like Parks and Rec dropped that, like, focus after, like, the first season. Meanwhile, The Office is like...
Even though they still, like...
They did the cam, yeah. But they never really referenced the cam
They
crew.
Never did a thing with The Office where it's like, oh, they had, like, a whole thing with people who watched the documentary.
Yeah. Or
that was like a 3-episode thing.
American Vandal season 2. American Vandal season 1 is on Netflix in their world.
It's so bizarre.
I love it. But yeah.
So meta.
Or even like, oh, you can see the boomstick in this frame of The Office. Well, yeah, they're being interviewed. Come on. And it's just like, oh. No, I've never watched The Office. That. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Parks and Rec is way better.
I mean,
in my opinion, of not seeing one or the
other. Yeah, but you wouldn't have gotten Parks and Rec without The Office.
But Parks and Rec is no longer, or even during the first season, it wasn't considered to be a spinoff of The Office at that point. I watched the UK Office. That one's like really dry. Like,
yeah.
Man, Ricky Gervais, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, I closed my notes. I was like half tempted to take a drink. Disney removes untitled 2020 movie from release schedule.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3? ?
Inhumans, the movie.
Yeah, it could have also be that.
Lockjaw, the day in the life.
There were two conflicting reports I saw. Essentially, there was like, all right, everyone's like thinking, okay, it's probably Guardians 3, you know, because it got delayed indefinitely. And then there was another thing of Marvel's looking for a female director for Guardians 3. So it's like, okay, which rumor do we go with here?
Could we just give Taika Waititi a wig?
Sure. Why not?
I don't know. It's
to look fabulous either way.
Bizarrely interesting that people are like 2 years out from now. It's like, oh my God, they're taking this movie off the film docket. What the fuck, Marvel? And it's just like,
it's probably Guardians 3.
It's 2 years out.
They're probably going to retry and figure things out with that now.
Well, they're using James Gunn's script. He had a contract with Marvel.
They mean, yeah, they technically own it.
Yeah, it's like, had DC just it's like, all right, cool, you're fired, but we're going to use your stuff. Or Marvel doing that most recently with Chuck Wendig.
I think that happens a lot more often than we hear about.
I think so, too.
Well, I mean, there was that whole thing with the Bright, where it was like, they claimed it was Max Landis's script, and then he was like, no, it was only like, maybe the basic concept of it.
Yeah, or how in the Power Rangers film, Max Landis received writing credit, but he was like, but what did I write in this movie?
None of my stuff was in this.
Yeah. It's very interesting to see how writing credit goes, like, even if it's like the smallest thing.
Yeah.
Have you heard about Disney's latest fuck up?
No. What did they do now?
Apparently, when they do these live action remakes, they owe no royalties to the original creators. Fine. So the people who originally did Aladdin
aren't getting shit.
Are not getting any money.
And the people who are doing Mulan aren't going to get shit.
Yeah. DC kind of did something vaguely similar. So if you read any comic book ever, if you open any Superman story, characters created by Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel, I think were the two guys. Right. They have to do that legally. Right, apparently in Titans, they did not credit the original creators. So no Marv Wolfman, no George Perez, but they were at the red carpet. Like, even Marvel does that with the Netflix things. Like, in the intro of the show, there is
characters created based on characters created by
Stanley, Jack Kirby. Look, Marvel Brian has Michael like a this. Running track of fucking over people. That's why Jack Kirby
recently
left.
Yeah,
but what's really cool, or
at least recently, there's like another wave of it.
Yeah, so I mean, that has been a big hubbub, but in this episode of Titans that came out most recently, there's Ditko Moving Company, which it's like, oh yeah, Steve Ditko did create Hawk and Dove. That's so cool. So it's like, you got to pick your battles right now. But yeah, it's very bizarre that, you know, most of Disney's IPs are publicly owned, like Cinderella, all that jazz. Yeah. A lot of the fairy tales are
Wine and Hammerstein? Hammerstein? I forget the name of the company.
But a lot of those concepts were publicly owned for years, and now they have like the sole producing rights of those things.
Yeah.
And now that this Aladdin film is coming out, it's like, yeah, we're not crediting any of those people, and they're not getting any royalties for making this.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's been very interesting. I need to brush up a little bit more on it.
Why they're not doing Mulan as a musical. It's like, we're just going to get around the whole, like, you know, all those songs that people wrote that everybody loves.
Yeah.
We're just not going to do them.
Well, you know, they changed the male lead, right?
Yeah. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, this isn't even the Mulan we want.
It's gonna because he might have been gay or bi. He was checking out Mulan as a dude. He was like, damn, he has great ass. Which I think you can freely say as a straight person.
You can appreciate another man's ass.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're attracted to them.
No. I would fuck Ryan Reynolds, but I mean,
he does his squats.
Yeah. I would not fuck Ryan Reynolds.
No.
No.
I would stare at him. I would just appreciate him.
Like a work of art.
Yes. Yeah,
your canvas, yes. But it's just like a stick figure.
I just want like a Renaissance painting of Ryan Reynolds. That'll be good enough.
Keep forgetting I'm wearing a hat. Keep hitting the mic. Do you think that'll mess up the sound?
Yeah, you know, can't hear shit.
All right. Moving on from life. Sean Bean starts as Hitman 2 Target.
This thing is so great. Yeah, have you not heard about this? It's incredible. So, IO is, they've enlisted Sean Bean as a character for one of the elusive targets for Hitman 2, which I think they did the elusive targets in, the first one.
Yeah.
So his character is called the Unkillable.
The Undying.
Or Undying, sorry. And the whole thing is that he's either a mercenary or an assassin, and he always fakes his death. So he's an assassin who goes by the name The Undying and has a knack for faking his own death. In this video, Fava says they keep trying to kill me and talks about how he's cheated death numerous times, Fava being the character that Sean Bean is playing.
So do you think everything's just a reference to your previous film?
Oh, yeah. I definitely, like, that's 100% what they're doing here. It's like the whole meme of Sean Bean dies whenever he shows up. It's like, and when this character is playing the Undying, like, come on, that's great. It's like, it's just such a fun concept that they're playing with. It's like, even when you kill him, it's like, oh shit, is he actually dead or is he faking his death again? You don't know.
Just like stare him down. It's like,
is he moving?
You get like a bow and arrow and you just light him up.
Bop, 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 bop.
It's like, he just keeps walking towards you. It's like, you won't die. Oh, please let that be a way to kill him. Just like Lord of the Rings style. Or,
just all of the previous deaths are just all of his movie deaths.
Yeah, just like specific, like, just really neat little homages to everything.
That'd be great. I mean, the whole character is an homage to his deaths.
Yeah.
Or all his other characters. I just think it's great.
He did die in National Treasure.
Did he not?
No, it's a PG movie.
He died off screen, though?
No, he got arrested.
What about his character in Jupiter Ascending? Did he die?
Never even watched that movie.
Kayla, help.
Kayla legitimately likes that movie.
I know she does.
It's so bad. Just like, why? Then again, I like Riverdale, so like, you know, hot garbage all around. So that's really cool. I'm really glad Hitman. I've been meaning to play that first game. I've been meaning to play video games other than Siege. That's all I've done.
But we can't stop.
For 2 months.
We can't stop, though.
Like, I was like, now yeah, I'll play Odyssey while no one's home, and then I'm just never home. Like, yeah, this break is going to be awesome. Go to meetings and go to the gym and go watch my dogs and take them for walks and then go hiking and rock climbing. It's just like, man, this break has been exhausting.
It's like traveling. It's never relaxing.
No. I feel like the stress of the airport is just like the constant nagging feeling. It's like, it's always there in the back of your mind.
It's like, what if this happens? It's also just probably my anxiety.
What if the plane crashes? You're not even on the plane at that point. You got off the plane.
You already got to the place.
The plane has a flat tire. That constitutes as a crash.
It might. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So actually going into real comic book news. The Bensons are taking a break from comics after abrupt Green Arrow exit. So they took over the series, and starting in January 2019, a new writing team has been announced for the book. Julie Benson has spoken out As some of you have seen in the January 2019 solicitations, Shauna Benson and I are no longer writing a title for DC Comics. We're sad to see our Green Arrow come to an end, but are honored to have had the opportunity to write for this amazing legacy character. They started their run with issue 43 and will end their run with issue 47. Ouch. We have many stories about Green Arrow, Black Canary, Kate Spencer, we were hoping to tell, but DC decided we were not the right fit for the book and informed us that they were going in another creative direction. Writers Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly are now solicited to begin writing Green Arrow with issue 48, and the Bensons wish them well. We wish Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly the best on their run and have much love and appreciation to Javier Fernandez, who continues to be one of the best artists in the business. Thank you to everyone who has read and appreciated our work, particularly the recent gut-wrenching issue 45. We are proud of that book and our entire runs of Green Arrow, Batgirl, and the Birds of Prey for DC Comics. The Bensons did say that they are taking a hiatus from DC in comic book writing entirely to focus on TV writing. Bensons have penned episodes of Pemberley Digital's Emmy-winning web series Emma Approved and wrote on seasons 3 through 5 for CW's The 100. So it seems like there's been a lot of creative changes going on recently with the whole comic book world. Because Ben Percy leaving or getting fired, he just took up to Twitter. It's like, man, I wish I could tell the story that I wanted to tell. And it's just everyone's like, so what happened?
Yeah.
I really do like Colin Kelly and Kelly and Lansing. They're great. They took over after Tom King and Tim Seeley had to do work on other things.
Right.
They took over on Grayson. I really like their stuff entirely. I don't read Green Arrow anymore, but I'm excited to see what they are able to do.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks, but do you think that like DC's like they let everybody have their fun and now they're like slowly approaching like this focal point of Doomsday Clock getting closer to issue 12 that they're like trying to consolidate everything?
Yeah, I think so. On one hand, I think we're still in the experimental status because starting January, Kelly Sue DeConnick is taking over Aquaman, and starting next month,
G Willow's
on Wonder. God, I fucking love Wonder Woman lately. It's been so great. Like, so you talking about everyone having their fun, like all these writers taking over for just one arc, like Steve Orlando turning Wonder Woman into like, all right, Wonder Woman has to find the strongest person ever and beat them in a fight. I'm like, yes, good job, Steve Orlando. Or even Sam Humphries taking over Nightwing on an arc. It's like, oh yeah, it's just let people do what they want. But you're right, we're coming to a focal point and we have to restructure. Especially, I think January, I want to say January is when Bendis's new imprint launches with Young Justice and everything. So
how does that man have time for anything?
Okay, so I counted this.
Yeah, how many books
Superman
is he
writing? Action Comics, he's gonna be writing Young Justice, he's gonna be co-writing a new character with David Walker for his imprint, Pearl cover, Scarlet, and he has one more. I think it's like the USA versus Murder Inc. or something like that, which is also part of Jinx World. But like, I think this is one of the reasons why Superman Action turned into a monthly series, and he's been killing it on Superman. To all those people who are worried when he was taking over, fuck off. Because he's been killing it. And right now, I think DC's in a really good stage because it's like, man, Scott Snyder re-upped his contract. Tom King re-upped his contract. Tim Seeley's now working at Marvel because he's like, yeah, I just want to expand my portfolio. I'm going to write Shatterstar for Marvel while I do Injustice versus the Masters of the Universe at DC. And Kelly Sue's taking over on Aquaman. Justice League has been awesome. Justice League Dark has been killer. Like,
Ozzy finally started.
Yeah. Ozymandias and Dr. Manhattan showed their faces. Jeff Johns is returning. Freaking Grant Morrison is back. It's just like we're in such a weird state that
it's like here's all the great things, and then there's also all these kind of weird, like, what the fuck happened here? Like with Ben Percy, the Bensons, stuff like that.
And it's just like,
what's going on? It's so weird. Corner?
I'm such a DC fanboy, but I can't help it because they're doing things right. Meanwhile, I'm just like, at Marvel, Spider-Man.
Yay.
Iron Man and the Fantastic Four.
Miss Marvel. Still
Fantastic
good.
Fantastic Four is awesome. Dan Slott's killing it. Two issues in.
Still need G Will to explain how the fuck Kamal's powers actually work now.
But Zach, she just borrows them from across dimensions.
Huh? How? How does this work?
What?
Does this mean like one
How? But she? And she? What? It's my favorite.
I'm surprised you haven't done that more in Siege.
Because I understand I die. Like, it's either girlish scream because El Diablo comes out of nowhere.
It's El Diablo.
She's a woman, so she has La Diablo.
She has like the Dias de los
Skull
Muertos.
Mask.
Yeah,
it's not even just sugar. It's not even Dia de los Muertos. She just has a skull on her face.
She is El Diablo,
the Silent Stepper. She comes. How do you know? I can't hear anything.
You must assume she's always around us.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. I never liked the Bensons too much on Birds of Prey. It was very interesting. It's like, yeah, the whole new Oracle thing. And I'm like, all right,
okay.
I'm a little bit out. It's interesting, but it's not my focus. Even like, there's a large chunk of Batgirl that I literally just skipped. I'm like, I still bought every issue, but I'm like, oh, new creative team. I'll start reading now. I'll go back and read those eventually, but I'm glad Burnside is over.
Yeah,
that whole saga.
It was a good little break.
It wasn't for me, Zach. Comics are meant for adult male audiences.
In their
sarcasm.
I feel like... Well, yeah, what? I'm just... it's amazing when, like, just across, like, all mediums, it's like, I didn't like this, so therefore it's shit. It's like, well, it obviously wasn't meant for you, unless the show is actually, like, bad.
Yeah.
It's the same problem with, like, anime. It's like, everybody expects, like, every new anime, like, people hardcore in the anime fandoms, like, are, like, expecting every new show to be released for them.
Meanwhile, I'm, like, I think you and Steve probably go hard into the anime tropes and look for cool things.
I just, like,
meanwhile,
yeah,
I'm
watching,
like
the meme and trope videos.
Look, guys, idol girls that are zombies and they have a rat battle. I'm picking this for our new family show.
Meanwhile, we were just, like, trying to get you to watch classic shows.
I just want nice, wholesome things. Granted, my last...
pretty wholesome.
Granted, my last pick is Magical Girl Racing Project, which is not wholesome.
Swim, why? We still need to finish that.
Yeah.
Even though I, like, dipped out for, like, the middle
bit. You just came, it's like...
I watched the first two episodes, and then dipped out, like, 3 to 6 or something.
Yeah.
Like, the middle part where all the shit hit the fan.
7 through 9 with us. That's the same thing that happened in New Game. Like, you just missed the first season and then came in season 2. It's like,
I'm like, oh, it's so pure.
Yeah, Zach, we told you. I was right.
I can't remember what I was doing at that time.
I think we were watching, like, Lupin. Like, the new movie came out.
Maybe. No, that was, like, season...
No, you were playing The Witcher again. So,
yeah,
like, all of your time
right.
was in your bedroom.
That's right.
It's like, fought this dragon.
No, wait, no, it was
Witcher
Persona.
2.
It was Persona.
Maybe.
It
yeah.
was Persona.
I don't know.
That was like 2 months of my life.
Siege has been 2 months of my life. Almost level 50.
Should see if Adam wants to play later.
Yeah. All right. Last thing on our news doc is talking about Jinx World. I recently caught up with Cover and Pearl. I was really excited for these series to come out when they were originally solicited, and I haven't talked about them since. But Zach, do you know anything about Jinx World?
No.
All right. So Jinx World is Bendis's imprint, basically. When he was at Marvel, it was published underneath Icon because he had like a super stupid Marvel contract. And when he switched to DC and signed his contract over there, part of the contract was that he was allowed to work on Jinx World still because they had to end up buying those rights from Marvel. And you can find Powers, one of his original series, originally with the Icon Marvel label, now being republished as DC Comics, which is wild.
That is weird.
But Jinx World is like his little playground for characters. he made Jessica Jones in Icon.
It started as Alias.
Yeah, it was his own thing. So when Bendis switched over, it's the joke, he brought all of his friends with him. So the first series I'm talking about is called Cover, which is amazing.
Is the tattoo artist one?
No, Cover is the comic artist. So a comic artist has been recruited by the CIA to be a spy and do like espionage, because the comic book artist has the perfect cover. They travel the world and they go to conventions. They're there for a weekend and then they leave. So he gets recruited by a CIA operative who like literally buys all of his cover art at a show. And he's just super jazzed about it. And he gets a first class ticket to Istanbul for like an Istanbul Comic-Con of things. We can't say Comic-Con anymore because San Diego's trademarked it. And now Salt Lake City's going to, you know, go into debt because
now you can't pay their legal fees.
Yeah. But so this comic artist goes and travels around the world, and it's only two issues in. It's a 6-issue miniseries, but it has some of the most gorgeous artwork. So this series is done by David Mack, who was one of his longtime creators. And it's just really beautiful because it's all done either in watercolor or like super basic, just ink. Like it's just ink in a blue page. And some of the pages are watercolor, like the big highlighting focuses. So a lot of it is about the main character kind of recounting his life, talking about things his father taught him, and then like showing the comic art that he's done. And then he's being traveled around the world and he meets the Istanbul or the president, and he gives him, it's like, here, sir, a token of my gratitude for you since you're at this comic convention. And then the CIA operative's like, great, cool. We have a bug in his man cave now, and it creates a 3D replication.
Jesus.
And the beginning of issue 2 shows that he gets captured, and everything's a frame narrative. Like, he's just exposing all these things he's done because he's being tortured by this person. And literally, it's just your average Joe as a comic artist, he's now unknowingly being in the CIA. So that series is super cool. The other series is called Pearl. This one's done with Michael Gatos, you know, longtime creator of Jessica Jones and everything, co-creator of Jessica Jones. Also really high class watercolor, just really bright colors in general. And this one is about a tattoo artist.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And this tattoo artist, she and her mother used to work on the same block, and they had to pay money to a Yakuza gang. So Pearl, she's referred to as the albino. She has white hair, she has very light skin, and she's become the sole tattoo artist for her Yakuza clan. And she's on going around the town with her friend, and these bikers come up and they're trying to mow down these people, and she just whips out a gun, kills them.
God.
And it turns out they're from a rival Yakuza clan.
Oh fuck.
And so now she has to, she's been given a list by the head of the clan, Mr. Miike. It's M-I-I-K-E.
M-I-I-K-E?
Yeah.
Miike?
Miike. I don't know.
Miyake?
But he's like, you need to kill these four people, because that clan was trying to take a hit on those people. So in order to restore the balance between all the Yakuza clans in our town, you have to become an assassin.
God.
And it's just so wild because, like, a lot of it is about tattoo culture. It's like her in the flashbacks learning how to become a tattoo artist, tattooing bananas and other things. And it just shows, like, the diversity of Michael Gatiss's art, because even in his Jessica Jones stuff, it was just, like, watercolor, like, really gorgeous watercolor. But now it's, like, really traditional art with Yakuza-style tattoos on people's backs on bananas and everything. And Pearl's really cool thing that's unique to her that hasn't been explained yet is that she has really pale skin, and when she starts to get flustered, all these tattoos just start glowing on her face and on her body. And I'm just like, what? Give me more. And this was also supposed to be a 6-issue limited series, but now it's been designated as an ongoing because of the huge fan response. And Michael Gatiss is like, yeah, we're going to do this too.
Nice.
And Bendis is killing it.
He's at so DC. Busy.
Like, I feel like when
he saw what Lemire was doing, he's like, I can do more.
Lemire does 5, 8. He's running 2 imprints.
Didn't granted, Lemire do 10 things at one point? I think he was working pretty on like close. 10 different projects.
Him and Ben Percy do so much. But like, it's so cool because Bendis is now the head of 2 different imprints. He does Jinx World. He's the sole writer. He's writing 4 different titles at Jinx World. And now he's going to do his Impact Comics thing with Young Justice, like more younger skewed things. Mm-hmm. And then he does his Superman work. And it's just so crazy how much he does. Like, I cannot wait until he sits down with Scott Snyder and they do an event together, because that's going to be off the walls, more so than normal Scott Snyder does.
Yeah.
Scott Snyder blew up the moon, Zach.
Is that recently in Justice League?
That was like issue 1. They blew up the moon.
Oh, yeah, they did blow up the moon.
And then Superman put it back together. It's great. So
Snyder's like taking like, yeah, how overpowered is everybody in the series? Yeah, they would do that. Sure.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things too, just like I'm kind of spouting off about Bendis and everything. So I took to Twitter and was just like, thank you so much for doing these cool series. I cannot freaking wait for more.
Zack Senpai Games.
Yeah. And he just said, he replied to me 2 different times. It's like, I can't wait for you to experience issues 2 and 3 of both of these series. 2 and 3 come out. I read them immediately. Tweet. He's like, hey, thank you so much. And I'm just like, I bet you tell everyone that, but it's special. Bendis was like the first comic book I ever bought. Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, oh my God.
No.
It's my fanboy dreams. Hugged by Tom King, shook Scott Snyder's hand multiple occasions, shook Greg Capullo's hand. Bendis thanks me on Twitter. This world, I love this world. The simulation is going great.
Well, parts of it are okay.
The simulation's going great, like, for my personal life.
Okay.
The gains are good. Going back to my fasting this week, it's going to be great.
Oh, God.
Awesome. I love comic books. Ugh. And
what was the subreddit you needed to tell me about or have me experience?
Oh, it was really depressing. Oh, but I have a better thing depression. That's happier. It's a news article.
Okay.
So, Zach, what's the favorite animal that your mom owns?
Cats.
Okay.
Or horses. Horses.
Horses.
Yes.
What other animals does your mom own?
Goats.
All right. This is about goats, Zach.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you heard about this. This is from like a month ago.
Okay.
Aggressive goats addicted to human urine airlifted out of Olympic National Park, Washington, is the headline.
The fuck?
Hundreds of mountain goats in Olympic National Park, Washington, have been so addicted to the salt found in human urine and sweat that they are aggressive menace to national park visitors, charging at hikers and trampling vegetation. They have a taste for salt and minerals in human urine and sweat on clothes and backpacks, according to officials.
Okay.
So they're moving them. So they're moving them out to the North Cascades because there's salt flats there. So they need to see themselves. Yeah. They'll lick the salt. So the solution to this problem, in order to move them to the Cascades, airlift 375 of the non-native grumpy animals to a more remote area closer to their natural habitat where they will be less of a nuisance. The goal of the relocation is to transport 100 goats by September 24th and the rest within 12 months. Authorities said that they can expect to shoot another 300 or so that cannot be caught.
Jesus.
The operation began last week when crews equipped with tranquilizer darts and nets captured goats from ridges and rocks within the park before being airlifted to a staging area, driven to another part of the North Cascades, and then airlifted in crates before being released back into the wild. So my favorite thing about this, they showed a photo of the goats being transported, being airlifted.
Is it like in a harness?
They tranquilize the goats,
uh-huh.
And then it's a giant stream of harnesses. Like, imagine 5 goats in a harness, like on a rope, dangling straight down. Here's a picture. It's from a
they're
YouTube
all
channel.
They're all unconscious too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't believe that was like their best. It was like, yeah, this is the best way to do this.
So, yeah, apparently these goats have become so, just like addicted to human sweat and everything, they became hostile in Olympic Park. They would so frequently where there were people that like, you know, had to urinate and whatnot on the side of the mountain, as you do when you hike, they like would lick that area and then like just crush that area, like scoop their paws into it, trying to get as much of those minerals as they can, just completely devastating the area.
Whoa.
So
goats, man, they're weird.
Yeah. So it's amazing because they also blindfold the goats.
Oh my god.
When they airlift them out, and it's just these orange little harnesses. So park officials urge walkers not to urinate along the trails to avoid the long pass into long linear salt licks and attracting goats to the area, because in 2010 a 63-year-old walker bled to death after being gored by a 370-pound male mountain goat, and it followed him.
It's like the Bourne Assassin's Creed. It followed
within 5 or 6 feet of him for as much of a mile, trying to, you know, sneak up on this guy.
It's insane.
It's insane.
It's insane in the membrane.
So, yeah, there's that.
All right.
It was a little lighthearted at first, and then it's just like, God. But the image of the goat in the harness.
I would love to just see someone just like, close to the area that they moved them to, just seeing like a helicopter with fucking goats strapped to them. It's just like, what the?
Yeah, what I just want someone who's completely oblivious to be like,
what the hell is this?
What they don't know is that they're actually airlifting all these goats to some sort of ritual site. We have to sacrifice the goats. So yeah, there's that.
All right.
Yeah, I think I've ranted enough about goats, Star Wars, and everything else that we don't have to do Zach's weird subreddit today.
No, I think that'll cover it.
Yeah. Do you have any questions, comments, concerns, cries for help, please, for mercy?
No, nothing this week.
Okay. Christ the Dark God, Goat God.
Meh.
All right. So as always, thank you guys for listening to your brain episode. Steve cannot join us today because he was sleeping. I think that's safe.
I think me and him didn't sleep well last night.
Yeah.
We all went to bed really late. There's something fucking going on. I was watching Cloud9 fucking sweep a Korean team last night.
On what?
In League of Legends.
Gross.
I know. I still watch. It's Worlds, so it's like the most exciting thing. And this Worlds has been like nothing makes sense. Like all the Korean teams are out before the semifinals this year.
Weird.
And the Koreans have won the last 6.
Right.
So it's like, what the fuck
are
is happening?
Are they just getting old? Like
the reason that was, I think all the analysts kind of figured out, was like, oh yeah, Korea just never adapted. They were just playing their style, and it was not up to par with the like this newfound style that everybody was adopting.
Much like the NFL.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know anything about the NFL.
The NFL makes up dumb rules that everybody hates, so that's all you need to know right now.
Fair.
But yeah, it was. That series didn't go too long. It started like 10 and then ended up around like 12:30.
Okay.
But yeah, it was like, holy shit, Cloud9 actually swept a team. Like, they can make it to the finals. What the fuck is this? What is this?
So are they going to finals?
They're in semifinals. Okay. They face one of the European teams next week. And then they'll either face another European team or a Chinese, the one of the last Chinese teams.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell is this? What is this world? Like, Cloud9 could be like, win like 2 major championships this year in different esports. Because they won a CSGO major tournament earlier this year.
I really need to watch like competitive Cloud9. Siege. I think that'd
and they
be
won
fun.
And one in Spitfire, who is owned by Cloud9, also won. So it's like they would win 3 major champion. They could win 3 major championships in a year.
Gosh,
like that is insane for an organization.
I think all the major esports teams should all play Rainbow Six Siege, but all play recruit and just see what happens.
It's just a pure skill matchup.
Yeah, it's just like no attachments. Good luck.
Have fun.
It's one of my favorite parts about Siege is that the bullets go straight. I don't have to count drop.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Thank you guys for listening to your brain episode. It's the first new episode of this number. And you guys all rock. And as always, you can reach us by Facebook, Twitter. You can also hit us up at
z2podcast.com/comment.
And you can be like the very Him Tusky or Anon or whoever else messages us and leave us a comment. And we will respond to it, especially next week where we will be live.
Oh, was that next week?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Next week, we'll be live at Hall of Justice Comics for the Halloween new Fest.
Location.
We'll be inside. It's amazing. Yeah, Steve and I went last week to their new location.
Shit, you're going to have to bring the mics back.
Yeah. Just remind me on that Friday. I'll put a reminder in my phone, too.
I'm doing it now.
Okay. The new location is awesome. They've done so much work with it. It's very nice, large, and open. It was such a great move, too. Like, literally, we removed both. We moved the entire store and had everything roughly in its place in, like, 4 hours.
Nice.
It was crazy. And then all of the stuff that's been going on now is just, like, putting things on shelves and just last-minute things. I told you I had to hold his, like, 9.4 Aquaman signed by Momoa.
Yeah, like, all his important fancy stuff.
Yeah. It was just like, all right. Let's all call this out now in case anything goes missing. This person has the Mike Mignola poster. Mignola. Mm-hmm. Zach has the Aquaman. This person has the 9.8 Spider-Man. So if any of it goes missing.
We know who took it.
Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, we know.
Quick to scan a copy of it and then
the real one. So we'll do that. You can join us there. We'll be talking and spouting. I'm pretty sure John's gonna make a Facebook thing, and he usually puts us as like a co-host, so we'll make sure to share that on the appropriate media. And you can come chat with us live. We'll have an additional microphone and you can just talk and say hey, and it's like fuck off. Yeah,
cool.
I won't apologize that you listen to the show. I haven't done that in a year. I'm doing great. You can also leave us a comment, a review, and that'll help the algorithm go about the new Google Podcast app allows you to subscribe to people, but you need to make sure that you either stream the episode or download it so that it helps us in the algorithm of life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Oh, really sad news. Yui Metal has left Baby Metal. I think the Z2 comic, not by us, is coming out to Apocrypha. It's a concept album. Yeah. Anywho,
Starlight's so gentle.
Thank you everyone for listening. Goodbye. Love you, internet.
Bye-bye.